Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's sometimes difficult as a Lutheran to talk about spiritual things. It's not one thing that we Lutherans get right very well. I remember when the ELCA was first formed and the motto that we had was, come share the Spirit. And in seminary they said, yes, come share it because we don't have enough of it. Please come share it. But we've also all heard people say, I'm not really religious, but I am spiritual. And they talk about spirituality as if it was something like training for a marathon or climbing Mount Everest or something like that. It's supposed to be difficult and all the rest of these things. Bookstores are filled with books pointing to ways and paths and plans that we can take or follow in order to achieve spirituality, to become spiritual people. An internet search will yield millions of possibilities to help us to strive and to achieve. That is what the world around us says about things spiritual. It's a little out there, all right? It's not of this world, and it takes a lot of time and a lot of practice and a lot of secret knowledge in order to acquire it. But the Bible tells us something else altogether. In today's readings from the Bible, we hear loud and clear that spirituality, that being spiritual, that gifts of the Spirit, they're nothing that we can achieve on our own. Rather, they are things that God gives to us, to each of us, and to all of us. And our connection to the spiritual is not for us alone. It is for the common good. You see, our reading from 1 Corinthians today kind of flies in the face of that contemporary understanding of spirituality, and it reminds us what the gifts of the Spirit are really all about. Because the first thing we learn in 1 Corinthians is that God's spiritual gifts are practical, not esoteric, right? They're not out there. For the common good means that the Holy Spirit's gift will help people. Wisdom, knowledge, healing, they're all useful. Faith, miracles, prophecy, discernment, all of those are helpful. Paul reminds us that even tongues in the proper context can be beneficial. So if we are striving for a gift, if we are striving to be spiritual, and that spirituality seems limited, or it seems strange or odd, or it seems to be just for yourself, it may not be as spiritual as we would like to believe. Because Paul reminds us that the gifts given to us are to be a help in the real world. They're to be a help for the people around us in need. And they're not there for us to be able to bring out at a party to show everybody and impress people. Another thing we learn about spirituality and gifts of the Spirit from 1 Corinthians is that God's spiritual gifts are personal, but not private. And there's a big difference there. See, so often we want to make the things about our faith and about our relationship with God private, secret, and just for me. When all of the things of faith, all of the gifts from God are personal but communal and not private. The gifts and the services and the activities we are given to each individually. So it is. It's yours. God knows you. God loves you. God gives you gifts and they are personal for you. But they're for you to use. They're not for you alone. It's not something you can sit on a shelf next to the trophy you won in soccer as an 8-year-old. They're not private. They are always for the common good. Our gifts and activities and services are for us to give and share and use for others. This way we assist in the big picture of God's kingdom. This is how we help God's dream. This is how we strive to follow Christ with what we have. And we have enough. And if we don't have enough individually, then as we come together as the body of Christ, we do. Like the villagers in the story Stone Soup, they may not have had enough to feed three travelers on their own. But as they came together as a group, blessings abounded for everyone. This is a huge shift in the way that people think about spirituality and about our relationship with God, whether it was then or now. When Paul was writing, when Jesus was alive, people thought that so long as I do the minimum, I'm all right with God. And so sacrifices and cleanliness, purity and food laws were watched closely. Now, so many believe that as long as I feel good about it, or I feel strangely warmed, or touched, or just content, then that's really all I need in my relationship with God is okay. And in truth, God always gives gifts not for me, but for the common good. Jesus changing water into wine, the miracle in today's gospel story, for me is a living parable of this shift. Because it all begins at a wedding. Now, these were things that happened all the time. People get married. But they were also major celebrations that could last for days with lots and lots of people there. And this particular wedding was dying down too soon because they were running out of wine. And so Jesus' mother Mary encourages Jesus to do something for the common good. To do something for his friend or his relative or whoever's wedding that he was at. Life can sometimes be like that wedding. While it is common and ordinary to live a life, we want to celebrate that life properly. But there are times when what we strive for don't work. The empty jars in the story were jars used for the Jewish ritual of purification. That was supposed to sort of make your life with God well and fine and good. And all of a sudden, there was nothing left to celebrate. The jugs were empty and nothing was going right. Jesus brings new life, not just to the wedding celebration, but new life to us. There's new hope. The jugs were filled again, but this time it wasn't for personal purity. Rather, it was for communal joy. And while it is true that Jesus' hour had not yet come, there was always time to help a friend. There was always time to do something, to work for the common good. There were many things that Jesus still needed to do in his life and ministry and work for our salvation. But there was always time to share the gifts of God. And so the wine, the water turned to wine and the celebration continued. Jesus' gifts from God now turn our lives into celebrations so that we can go into the world and be a blessing for others. Jesus' life and ministry changed the focus from me to us, to neighbor. Jesus' death shows us the depth of the commitments to others should be. Jesus' resurrection opened to us the presence and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we might share, enriching lives around us. And like that story of Stone Soup, we all have something that can be added to the mix to make life wondrous. Too often, they're hidden under blankets in cupboards in the basement. Too often, excuses are made about, I don't have enough, and we don't have enough, and I don't know what's going on. But all of the gifts that God have given to us are for the common good. And on days like this, we celebrate that God need not trick us into sharing our gifts like the travelers did. But rather, we celebrate that through Jesus Christ, we see how these gifts work firsthand. We see how these gifts work for others. And we become inspired to live as Jesus lived. We shed our selfish, self-seeking ways and we focus our attention where God wants it to be, where God strengthens it to be, for the common good. Amen.